Memories associated with the books we love can be powerful, often taking us back to specific times and places in our lives. This is true for WABE Morning Edition host Steve Goss, who recently sat down with WABE's Kate Sweeney for an installment of Page Turners to tell her about the series that, to him, is synonymous with summertime.
Your Summer Page Turner is an American classic, and it's actually a series of books, which is the Hardy Boys Mysteries, perfect for summertime.
Oh, that's the magical part for me. I read all of these books that I read in the summer of 1961. We were vacationing in Maine. My dad, in the summer, he had this idyllic job where he could do research on the coast of Maine. And we lived in a little cottage on a field across from a pond, and I devoured the Hardy Boys series that summer. I went through at least a dozen books. And I was not a fast reader, but and I would take them out from the Bar Harbor Library, the public library in Bar Harbor, Maine. And I would read these things at night with my flashlight in bed, like a lot of kids do. But also in the afternoons, if the weather was nice, across from the cottage on the other side of the field down near the pond was a pine tree that wasn't too big. And at the very top, the branches were weird. They sort of spread out like a crow's nest and create a little cradle. And I would climb up that tree. I know this sounds kind of Norman Rockwellian, but...
Yeah, it kind of does.
I know, but this is the truth. And I would sit there in the afternoon with the breeze blowing, and I would just turn the pages of these books, and I just gobbled them up. I thought, this is great. So that's a really fond memory for me.
So to describe the Hardy Boys for that stray listener out there who may not be familiar with them, we have Frank and Joe Hardy. And who are these two fellas?
They're brothers. They live in the fictional town of Bayport. And their father is Fenton Hardy, who is a renowned detective.
And look at this. You know all this, by the way. I want to say Steve isn't reading this from notes or anything. He has this in his brain.
And they go over this in every book. I mean, they have to set the scene, even though, oh my gosh, this is the 60th book they've written. They had a roadster. They had motorcycles. They had a boat. And of course, they have friends who help them on their adventures as well.
Something about it being the Hardy Boys makes it also a perfect book to think about reading, quote-unquote, secretly. Because I think we all thought that we had great secrets when we were reading under the covers with our flashlight, as if nobody could see that light through the covers. But the fact that these were mysteries as well, and these were adventures.
Absolutely. And you just crawl into the book. As the Hardy Boys were solving their mysteries and rounding up the bad guys, I became a hero by association. And I think that that's what really resonated for me as a 9-year-old.
But at the same time, I mean, they were characterized, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, as sort of ordinary teenage boys.
Yeah. All American, but not that exceptional. But in reality, when you read the book, I mean, no one did the stuff they did.
And so in that way, these books must have given you a sort of wonderful sense that anyone can have adventures like these kind of drop into your life.
I think so. I think you're right about that. And as a 9-year-old, we played cops and robbers. We played army. We weren't that far removed from the end of World War II, and our parents had served and that sort of thing. So we envisioned ourselves as young boys as, you know, playing the role of heroes and always winning out over the bad guys.
You actually brought in two Hardy Boys mysteries, and I see them there with their iconic blue covers.
Aren't these great?
Yeah.
And I know this is radio, but let me just tell you about the books. Here's the Tower Treasure, where there's a spotlight shining down on Frank and Joe, who are semi-hiding behind a tree. And you pick up these books, and you think, wow, what could that be about? Or the Shore Road Mystery. And I remember going to department stores, and they would have Hardy Boys books on display for a buck a title. And I would look at them and I go, I want this, I want that, I want to own these. And that was the whole idea. You collect these and you just look at the cover and you go, I can't wait to read this. You want me to read a little passage?
Yeah.
Here this is. As they neared Beech Grove Point, they saw a boy running toward them. It's Jerry, Frank exclaimed. The Hardys screeched to a halt as their wiry, red-cheeked friend flagged them down. His hair was tousled and his eyes were wide with worry. The car, my new car, he gasped. It's just been stolen. Sky blue Cavalier hardtop. We'll chase it, Joe offered. The Hardys gunned their motors and swept northward. Crouching low, they whipped up an incline beneath a rock overhang. There it is, Frank shouted. Several hundred yards ahead, a light blue hardtop sped around a long curve in the highway. The Hardys accelerated. We're gaining on them, Joe yelled. He had no sooner said this when a huge, bright red produce truck pulled out of a dirt road directly ahead, entirely blocking off the highway. It stood still. "Joe, look out!" Frank shouted, desperately braking down from top speed. But it was too late. Tires smoking, the motorcycle screeched into a skid off the road. And that's the end of the chapter. Turn the page, and you find out what happens. And this, what I was reading from, is the Shore Road Mystery, which was number 6 in the series.
Did you read much before you read The Hardy Boys?
You know, that's interesting. When I was in first grade, at the age of 6, I had all the 1950s childhood illnesses. I had the mumps, I had the measles, I had the chicken pox, so I was out a lot. And in those days, when you're in first grade, that's when you learn to read the Dick and Jane series. I missed out on a lot of that because I was homesick. And my dad would take the time to write adventure stories for me on pieces of paper, and he'd illustrate them with little stick figures. And when he would come home in the evening, he'd bring up a story, and he'd have me read it. And he'd also put questions at the end. He was a professor. And the stories were great. And I don't know whatever happened to those. I would give my right arm to get a copy of those again. So I learned to read from my father. And being a college professor, once I learned the basics, he thought, well, Red Badge of Courage at 8 years old. And I'm like, this is boring. I don't understand these words. So after that, I got into the Hardy Boys. And those are the first books that I really could call my own.
Your retirement is very nearly upon us. You've been on the air in Atlanta continuously on one station or another for, you know, 3.5 decades.
Wow, has it been that long?
So,
yeah, it's a long time.
I feel like as long as we're sitting here, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, will it be weird not to be doing that anymore?
Oh, absolutely. And it's exciting and scary at the same time because I do have some plans of things that I've wanted to do around the house, some housekeeping chores that are monumental that I've neglected for, well, 3.5 decades. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got a lot of family archives, my wife's family, my folks, my grandparents. So that'll be fun. And I want to spend some more time with my mom, who's not doing well, who lives in Rhode Island. And I'm kind of looking forward to being the guy that used to be Steve Goss, if I can phrase it that way.
I have an idea for you.
Okay.
Have you thought of writing any adventure stories?
No. I don't know what I would write about. I mean, my memoirs? I could maybe do that. You know, that'd be of interest to maybe me, maybe my wife, and that'd be about it. So,
Steve Goss, thank you so much for joining us for Page Turners. It's been a pleasure talking with you and an honor working with you at WABE.
And right back at you, Kate. The pleasure's mine. Thank you.